It's Tennessee Titans talk. It's the big fella here. We are missing Nathan. He was yelling so loud that by now, today, Tuesday, he has no voice. I'm here with Reed. Reed is one of our 331 buddies, diehard fan. So we're going to go ahead and give you some Chargers recap. What's up, bud?
What's going on? Excited to be here. Happy to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you're part of the crew. So Reed, we'll get straight to it, man. 27-24 win in overtime.
Mm-hmm. You know, beautiful day. Ended with a little bit of rain, but not enough to dampen our hopes of winning, right?
You're darn right. And, you know, we've seen a lot of those dark clouds over, you know, Nissan Stadium. And thankfully, this one resulted in a W. In the NFL, a win is a win. And I'll take it any way we can get it. It's especially rebounding after a week one loss to those stinky Saints by 1 point.
This is a good bounce back for us, for sure.
Oh, for sure. So I think, you know, we can both probably agree that there are a lot of good performances on the field, especially when we're winning. That usually means we're doing our jobs. Let's get started off. Like, what's the one thing that sticks out in your mind as why we were able to win this game?
I think we won this game because we are a Mike Vrabel coached football team.
Yeah.
I think we are gritty. I think we are organized. We show up. We have a plan. We stick to that plan. In overtime, we knew what we were doing. The Chargers did not. And that was the difference.
It's so funny, you know, a Mike Vrabel team, you know, we are gritty. We're never going to be that flashy, score 55 points in a game or whatever. We're never going to be a high-flying offense. We're always going to be in it. And as long as it's going to be close, we have a very good shot to win. And you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. The Chargers didn't know what they're doing. And as long as I've been watching this team, I'm never going to be afraid of the Chargers, whether it's Phillip Rivers, whether it's, you know, Justin Herbert. They're all great quarterbacks. But between the ears, when it counts, when it matters most, guess who doesn't show up?
That's right. We were there. We forced that 3-and-out. It was amazing.
You're darn right. That 3-and-out, man. You know, we've seen Harold Landry get after the quarterback quite a bit. He wasn't as productive this Sunday. Man, you're right. That 3rd-and-3, you know, that might have been the play of the game for us, you know, to force overtime in the fourth quarter. Harold Landry, you know, we've seen him sack the quarterback and get after the quarterback quite a few times in his NFL career. And, you know, we missed him last year. And he didn't have a super productive game on Sunday. But, man, when it counted most, he was able to get there after Herbert. And that was a really big impact sack. So, using Landry, what are your thoughts about the defense? Because obviously that's one of our bright spots.
I mean, our defensive line is awesome. I feel like we've got real depth this year. And if we stay healthy, which obviously, given the last 2 years, is like the world's most injured team. That's a big if, right? But if we stay healthy, those guys are mean. And I think we're one of the better D-lines in the league, which is really exciting. And it's fun to watch them get after the quarterback every single week.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, man. And I think one thing that sticks out to me is, you know, we all know Simmons is a monster. Actually, I believe Simmons' first game was against the Chargers here in Nashville, where he had a sack on like his first play. So it's always special to see him line up against the Chargers. But he was credited with 5 pressures in 1 sack. Landry, 1 pressure, 1 sack. Danico Autry, 1 pressure, 1 sack. And that's something that typically is just the MO of our defense. You know, they keep going. They never stop. However, you know, I think playing a team like the Chargers without much of a running game, did you notice? I thought they were a little gassed at times, and it looked like I saw Landry standing up a couple times, and I'm not going to doubt these guys' effort, but what do you think about the difference in game plan against playing a team like the Chargers, who throw 1,000 times a game, versus somebody like the Saints last week? Or
yeah, I mean, so this is what, the second week in a row where we didn't get a starting running back,
right?
With Austin Ekeler out again, which, I mean, I'll take that every week. I think we missed Arden Key just a little bit in this one. He was a little bit quieter than he was against the Saints. And then I think obviously missing Hooker and Fulton in the backfield. I mean, those are the guys that allow the defensive line time to get to the quarterback when the QB's got nowhere to go.
Yeah, right? Without a doubt. We saw some guys in our secondary play pretty well, but yeah, I think our lack of experience kind of hurt us a bit. We saw Trey Avery get targeted 15 times, 12 catches, 100 yards, two touchdowns against him, both to Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty rough day at the office, and they knew where to go when we play a team with like the Chargers. And like you said, no Eckler. I mean, every Titans fan's dream, we don't want anybody to be hurt in the NFL, but we're always glad when we don't have to see a guy like Austin Eckler who can be a Swiss Army knife team. And that's something that in the past we've been vulnerable to, those little swing passes out to running backs or running back screens, because we have a very aggressive defense. So thankfully he did not play. They weren't able to do much on the ground. But like you said, lack of experience in the secondary, that leads to big plays. It leads to the defensive line pass rushing 1,000 times a game, you know, every time they drop back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge to have those guys back there.
Even the guys with the biggest motors, they can't go every single play. I mean, you know, we did get to see one of those motors roaming the sidelines in Jarrell Casey. He came back. He made a presence, man, in the fourth quarter.
Bringing out the pain train? Come on.
Yeah, that got everybody pretty excited. And, you know, I know Nathan and I have talked for years about the years when this team, it looked like Jarrell Casey and Delanie Walker were the only guys putting forth effort on this team. And I'm not trying to dog on our boys in blue. I'm not trying to say they didn't try, but they were gassed. You know, when Herbert drops back for 41 passes, because that's what he did, he completed 27 out of 41 passes for 305 yards and two touchdowns. That's a long day for a defensive lineman, speaking from that experience. So yeah, Reed, I mean, you know, 41 dropbacks, that's difficult for a defensive line as aggressive as ours, especially with Keenan Allen stretching the field and Mike Williams stretching the field. They had some pretty big chunk plays. Even your best pass rusher is going to get gassed. You know, thankfully the weather was perfect, but yeah, man, they were tired. And you know, the Chargers offensive line, they're no scrubs. Rashawn Slater is a really great tackle. However, he did get away with a lot of holds, and I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to do it to sit there and say the refs kind of gave him some, but I think we saw plenty of holds from Slater, especially on Arden Key, because like you mentioned, he didn't show up in the stats that much. He didn't have any sacks, and we're used to seeing him kind of just wreak havoc off the edge, but there were some pretty egregious holes. What did you think about the officiating overall?
I feel like there have been worse games. I don't know if this one, if this game in particular, I felt extremely negative or extremely one-sided.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't know. Maybe us coming away with a win makes me feel a little bit better about it. Had we not won that and we were walking back to the car in the rain, I might be feeling a little
differently. Oh, it would be so different. And, you know, typical Titans fashion, like I can't be satisfied with a win. I have to pick out the little flaws here and there. Whether it's officiating, whether it's your wife getting a hot dog and a bun separate in a container, who knows? Like, I have to pick out the random things. So overall, a Titans W. It was a great day, great weather.
I mean, credit where credit is due. We were down 11-0.
Yeah,
and we worked our way back. We obviously ended the season last year losing 7 in a row. We lost our season opener this year. Things weren't great when we were down, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, there were times where it was like, oh God, that whole entire first quarter and even into the second quarter, we were all sitting there looking at each other like, oh man, this is not going to be good. Tannehill's going to get yanked and we're going to be struggling. We're going to be on the struggle bus all season long and not really sure where the identity is of this team is.
I was going to say, my family came to visit.
They sure did.
And it was awesome. Got to celebrate a couple birthdays. I felt like I had to keep leaning over throughout the game and just explain, like, this is classic Titans. Like, for us to lose this one feels very classic. But yeah, we hung in.
Well, we sure did. And, you know, to that point, the momentum was definitely in the Chargers. There were plenty of times where I thought they were just going to march down the field. And like we talked about earlier, Herbert has a little bit of that Philip Rivers head case mentality, and he just doesn't make great plays, great decisions. You know, there are some pass plays where he looks like a perennial all pro, but then there are others where it's just like, yeah, man, you know, you're still developing as an NFL pocket passer, and there are some things to be desired. But we talked enough about the Chargers performance, and let's get off of those bums. But let's talk about our guys. What did you see? We talked about Harold Landry. We talked about the defensive line kind of standing tall. We talked about Trey Avery getting exposed. And I don't know if a guy like Trey Avery, exposed is the right word. He's a young guy. He plays great in moments. He stands up really tall. He doesn't back down. You know, I mean, when he goes against a guy like Keenan Allen, who's been doing it for years, it's really tough.
Ageless, right?
Yeah. But I feel like Keenan Allen's been playing for 45 years.
I was going to say, yeah, how about our offense? What'd you see?
I'm glad you asked. I have been praying to the gods of football. To Miss Amy and to Vrabel himself, to Bud Adams. I was so aggravated last week when we pretty much forgot about Derrick Henry in the second half, even though we were leading 9-6. I was just thinking, you know what? Why are we not getting Henry involved? And thankfully, they remembered that. And he had 25 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. He had 3 catches for 15 yards, which that doesn't sound really all that impressive. But I mean, that's 5 yards a catch. That's right. Chain moving productivity. So that was important to get him going. What were your thoughts on Henry on Sunday? How did he look? What did you think about him? How did you like how we used him in tandem with Tajay Spears?
I'm loving the combination of Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears. They are obviously built so different and their running style is so different that I feel like it gives us a totally different look when either one of them are out. I'm hopeful that it keeps the defense on their toes a little bit more than when it's just Henry up the middle every first down.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. And, you know, you talked about their differences. It seems that Derrick Henry, you know, it was more so in the preseason. We saw it quite a few times, but it seems like Derrick Henry has imparted that stiff arm wisdom in Tajay Spears. We didn't see it Sunday, but against the Saints, you know, he laid a dude out. I don't know if he's mini Derrick Henry. I think Tajay Spears, you know, I was nicknaming him Mighty Mouse at the game on Sunday. I think that the pairing is really great, and I think Tajay Spears is finally fulfilling that role that we wanted to carve out for Darrington Evans a few years ago, and what we kind of hoped he would be, because he's a tough, gritty runner. You know, everybody said the guy doesn't have an ACL in his leg, so we'll see how long his career lasts. But for right now, man, I'm encouraged. I'm not ready to relinquish the crown of Derrick Henry, because that is my guy. And I know that's your guy. We wear the dang jerseys every Sunday.
That's right.
So, you know, as long as 22 is out there, we're happy. We're happy Titans fans.
I mean, it's still the Derrick Henry show, but Tajay Spears is far more than just a third down running back.
Sure.
And the play action is back for the Titans.
Yes. It sure is. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is how Ryan Tannehill is at his most productive. Mm-hmm. He went 20 for 24 with 246 yards, a touchdown, and we finally saw the Tanny roll back in style. He had a 12-yard touchdown run, which was really great to see. Reed, have you ever seen the movie Any Given Sunday?
I have not.
No? Well, basically, Dennis Quaid plays this older NFL quarterback. Jamie Foxx plays the new flashy the quarterback, and there's this one scene, Dennis Quaid, he's running. He just looks like it's the slowest touchdown run in the entire world, and he's gonna make it. And he does like an Elway type dive over at the goal line, and he makes it in. I swear, Tannehill, like, it looked like he was hesitant on that run. He's like, I'm not gonna make it in. But, you know, all of a sudden, boom, he gets in, gets to the ground, then pops up and does his Tanny roll. So that was great to see.
Credit to Tim Kelly on that one too, because that was out of the triple option.
It sure was.
We're running the triple option. I mean, how cool is that?
I mean, I feel like we're one of those crazy option schools in college now. So, I mean, and I guess the game, it translates. We're going to see more option stuff. Or I guess we always thought we would see more option stuff.
Right. But now, I mean, we mentioned it. With Tajay Spears, we can't. We have that option.
And, right, we have the personnel.
Tannehill's touchdown wasn't from, like, the third yard line.
Sure.
I mean, he ran that thing.
Yeah, he sure did. All 12 yards. That run felt like it took 12 minutes. But it did. Hey, man. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy we got it. He sure does. He sure does. You know, he played receiver in college and then transitioned to quarterback. So he's definitely got the wheels when he needs them. Mm-hmm. And I think that I hope that that's something we see a lot more of throughout the season. So, Reed, you mentioned play action and how it's, I think that's when we're at our best. Talk about some of the big plays that Tannehill was able to hit. You know, we saw him air it out a bit.
Yeah, so he hit Treylon Burks for almost 70 yards.
Man, and that was great to see. I've never seen Treylon Burks run that fast, so I was happy.
I don't know if he's ever seen himself run that fast. I mean, he was flying.
Yeah.
And he got some separation. It was a dime. It was a nice throw. It was right where it needed to be. And then Chris Moore. Ever heard of him?
Reed is clearly poking at me because in our notes for the show, I had Chris Moore credited with the touchdown, and I was completely wrong. I guess I must have been babysitting this Chargers fan in front of us, who had which, Reed, he did have incredible red hair, and he
luscious locks.
Very luscious locks, and, I was getting aggravated. He was talking trash, but, rightfully so, because they started out the game pretty hot, and I was ready to kind of take Carrot Top for a ride. But anyway, Chris Moore, he had a beautiful 49-yard pass. It's his only target on the day, so I'm glad he was able to make it count. But he did not get that touchdown. Reed, who did get that touchdown?
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Mr. Unreliable. But, right, on Sunday, he was reliable. He had 3 catches for 25 yards, a touchdown on 3 targets, so he caught all of them that came his way. It's a good thing to see, especially when last week we kind of forced the ball to DeAndre Hopkins and nobody else. So it was really nice to see Tannehill spread the ball around.
Yeah, it is nice to see some other guys get some targets, get some receptions, and get into the end zone. It would be nice for Hopkins to make it into the end zone this season. I think that'll happen. I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, it's nice to see Tannehill not forcing the ball to him every single time, even when he's...
And obviously you're referring to last week where Hopkins had 13 targets. I mean, I'm glad he had that many targets, but you shouldn't get that many targets unless Tannehill is throwing 65 times a game. And if Tannehill is throwing 65 times a game, we are pretty much out of the game.
Yeah. A lot of trouble.
Oh, for sure. I think Tannehill pretty much spread the ball around pretty much to everybody. You've got Burks with 4 targets, Moore with the 1, Hopkins 5 targets, Chig had 4 targets, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine had 3 targets, Henry had 4 targets, Spears had 2, Trayvon Wesco had 1, but we're not going to talk about that because it was a terrible throw. So we won't even put that in the stat. I want to mention this too, and I want to get your take on it. Obviously, huge difference from last week and this week with Tannehill. I think biggest difference is, like we said, he's spreading the ball around, but he's not forcing mistakes. He played mistake-free football on Sunday, and he didn't have any turnovers. So tell us kind of what you think about that, and how much of a nail in the coffin that's been for us and for Tannehill, not even just last week, but over the last couple of years.
Turnovers, they make or break the game, right? I mean, even watching the Monday Night Football game last night between the Steelers and the Browns, it's like nobody wanted the ball. They kept turning it over, and it was chaotic, and teams got away from their plan. And I feel like if we can have a clean game, that's when we're playing Mike Vrabel's game, and that's when we're at our best, which is really helpful. And I think much like most quarterbacks and most athletes, like, Tannehill's got to get into a rhythm. And if you're turning the ball over, you get thrown out of your rhythm. But if you're consistent and you're making your throws, you get in that rhythm a little bit more. We saw a great game from Tannehill, which was really exciting.
For sure.
What did you think about our offensive line this week?
I'm glad you asked, because we talked about a lot of the good. Let's get into the bad. So obviously we were without our first round draft pick, Peter Skoronski. He had, I don't know if it was an emergency appendectomy, but he had an appendectomy, so he was out for the game. Hopefully he's doing well and recovering. Fingers crossed that we'll get him back soon, because he plays really well for a rookie. He's a big, strong dude. Everybody expected him to play well, and he has. So yeah, we were missing him. Our immediate replacement for him, I'm not going to lie, I didn't even know who he was. His name is Xavier Newman, and he was one of our lowest graded players on Sunday with a 52.4 rating from PFF. Reed, here's something that I really love about this year's coaching staff. They saw that he was not fit to play on an NFL football field, and then they immediately replaced him. They said, hey, that's not cutting it. So they put in Dylan Radins, and he got the offensive line played a lot better.
Yeah, I was excited to see Dylan get a little bit more action this week.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this was his first week. Well, I guess he technically was back. He avoided the pup to start the season, but he's recovering from that knee injury from last year that ended his season pretty early. But yeah, I think things that are concerning to me, number one, Andre Dillard, he gave up three pressures and 3 sacks, which that cannot happen for a guy that we brought in on the free agent market and gave him the bag as far as left tackles go. So we need to see improved play from him. Now, you could point out that this is a team that, rotated Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack on that side. So that is never going to be an easy task, but still, he's one of your premier pass blockers on this team. He is the is supposed to be the anchor of the offensive line, and we need to see better from
him. Yeah, I agree, and I'll echo that. I mean, the Chargers' defensive line is, they're for real. They're good. Joey Bosa is is hard to play against, but we do need to see a little bit more.
Right.
We're definitely missing some guys, but when Tannehill has no time to throw, it's ugly, as it is for every quarterback, right? And we saw that a few times, and I can't remember exactly when it was, but I mean, we got pinned just back right up to our own end zone, and then we're punting from the back of the end zone. And it's like, man, if he even had 2 more seconds to throw that ball away, then we're not in such a negative position. But
yeah, and I think that's going to be Tannehill's bread and butter, is those quick reads, and or he's going to have to make it his bread and butter, because Andre Dillard is going to immediately snap into an all-pro left tackle. We have to remember he was a former first-round draft pick. He got injured in Philadelphia, lost his starting job to Jordan Mailata, who is one of the best left tackles in the game. He had an incredible game on Sunday, if you guys follow the Eagles at all, or on Thursday, sorry, not Sunday. But he is really just a monster who was born to play left tackle, and he's gigantic. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, Dillard has to play better, and I think he's going to progressively get better through the season. I don't think he's making an all-pro at all, but I think having a... And we mentioned this a couple podcasts ago, and I think we'll always mention it, that when you have a left tackle and a left guard who really pair together well, like think back to the days of Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold when they were both healthy, strong, and at their best. Like, we literally had the mantra of run left, and I really hope that Skoronski and Dillard are able to get to that kind of, you know, stepbrother mentality where we can do that again.
That would be huge. That's something that's missing from our game.
We talked about those, about Raidens, we talked about Skoronski and Dillard. Let's talk about the right side, which actually did fairly well in pass pro. Dane Brunskill and Chris Hubbard, they both graded above a 75 from PFF in pass blocking grades. Brunskill, you know, is responsible for 1 pressure, 0 sacks. Hubbard, 0 pressures, 0 sacks, 78.8 PFF grade on the right, at right tackle. That's something that's been sorely needed, because if you know, Reed, as you know, we have Nick Petit-Ferrier. He's suspended right now because of the gambling activity that he took part in the offseason. What are your thoughts on that right tackle position? Do you see Chris Hubbard maintaining the starting job? Do you see us just having incredible depth for the first time in what feels like forever on the offensive line when we're healthy?
Man, it's hard to even imagine depth on the offensive line, isn't it?
We've never had it, man. Never.
That would be nice. I guess that's the best case scenario here. That feels still a little far-fetched. I mean, may the best man win. I'd love for Hubbard to keep that job. If he's playing like he is, and
sure,
I think it'll take Nick Petit-Ferrier a little bit to get back to speed once he's back. Yeah, may the best man win. A little competition in a position never hurt anybody.
Right. Yeah, it's always good to have depth, especially, you know, with this grueling 17 game season that we're into, plus playoffs for when we make it there.
That's right. That's right.
Lord willing. So we talked about the good. Let's talk about my favorite punching bag, our center, Aaron Brewer. That guy, I don't understand I just don't understand how he's still on an NFL roster, let alone starting. Brewer, as everybody knows, anybody that listens to the show knows that he's the smallest lineman in the NFL, probably, and he does not grade out well. I think even after losing a ton of weight, I'm still bigger than him, and I think I can still do a better job. Challenge accepted, Brewer, bring it. But he did not play particularly well. He didn't do anything. He wasn't glaringly bad, but there were some times where I saw him get pushed around. I don't know if you pay attention to Aaron Brewer the way that I do, or, you know, just to have material for this show. One thing that talking about the offensive line depth is, I think Brunskill has played center before, so I'm wondering too if when Nick Petit-Ferrier, when he returns, if maybe they consider moving Brunskill to center, or do you think I'm overreacting to the center just because I hate Aaron Brewer?
You know, I don't know if I am your go-to guy for all things offensive line here.
Yeah, well, you know, I played every position on the offensive line in high school, and I played defensive line in college. So sometimes I'm a little more alert to those things, and it drives me a little bit crazier than most. Well, although, you know what, people, what podcast can you get where we break down the offensive line for over 15 minutes? This one, baby.
That's
especially
right.
Aaron Brewer.
Hey, you're the subject matter expert. I won't
go that far, but I guess that kind of wraps up the offensive. You know, we did our jobs. We didn't let Tannehill get murdered, and we were able to pave the way for Henry for quite a bit. All right, Reed, we covered this game pretty much top to bottom. Top performers, players that left a lot to be desired, you know, some bright spots to hang our hat on. One thing that I think you, me, and all Titans fans are really excited about is the reliability of Nick Folk as a kicker.
You know how many times we've been in the stands and the game has come down to a kick and we've missed it. We only ended up losing the game by a kick and we missed four earlier in the game. It's still uncomfortable, but maybe I'm not sweating it out as much as I was last season. And Nick Folk is a saving grace right now.
Oh, he's fantastic. And especially, you mentioned earlier in the show that towards the end of the game, the rain was coming down and it was coming down hard, and for him in overtime to trot out there, kick a game winner, you know, it wasn't super long, but that's a very difficult kick to make, especially when that ball first gets wet. It's hard to handle for the holder. It's hard to handle for the center, and then for him to kick that ball and have it go sailing through the uprights, that's no easy task. And it's looking like getting him for a 2025 seventh round draft pick is the deal of the century. Hats off to Rand Carthen, right?
Huge pickup. Clearly Titans fans are excited about it too. I don't know if you've been on Twitter recently and seen the Folk around and find out.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
I'm here for it.
I'm in. Let's get those t-shirts. We're getting them. Or pants. We'll get them on the leg. Whatever we have to do.
That's but yeah, right.
Nick Folk, thank God he's a Tennessee Titan. Funny story about Nick Folk. He and my wife went to the same high school. I'm sure she's going to buy that jersey. She won't buy a jersey. I will buy her a jersey. And there you force her to like the Titan.
What a perfect Christmas gift. She'll love it.
Right. Oh, I'm not waiting until Christmas. She needs that now. Get the good juju going. All right. Well, yeah. So we took care of business, you know, and it was really a great team win and really exciting to see. So, Reed, you mentioned earlier that we have gotten lucky in the first two games that we've played. We have not seen a starting running back. And unfortunately, it looks like we're going to keep that trend going. You know, everybody who watched the Cleveland Browns and Steelers game last night saw the unfortunate injury to Nick Chubb, and you know, prayers up to Nick Chubb and his family, because it was a very, very gruesome injury. And you know, of course, they say on TV, oh, we're not going to show it because it's terrible. What's the first thing I do? I go searching Twitter and I go searching Facebook to find it. And it was one of those videos that I kind of wish I didn't watch. I don't know if you've seen it and seen the way that his leg got injured, but man, you got to just hope for that guy to be okay eventually, right?
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, I hope he can come back and play again one day. It's a terrifying thing to see.
Yeah.
I hope that there was so much adrenaline coursing through his veins that he didn't even feel a thing, because I can't imagine how bad something like that would hurt.
No, and not even to mention that this is his second significant knee injury from when he was back in Georgia. You just hope that a guy like this can return and recover and, you know, play again, because this could be career ending. So it's a very, very difficult time for him and his family, and, you know, all the best to him, because he's, by all accounts, an incredible human being, and we all know he's a great football player. I hope he gets well, but selfishly, I'm glad he's not playing next week, because we get the Browns. We travel to Cleveland. You know, I'm not going to go as far as Jamar Chase and call them elves and, you know, have to eat crow later, but this is a team that, you know, is kind of at a crossroads, trying to figure some things out. You know, Deshaun Watson hasn't looked great. They're obviously at, you know, needing to figure some things out in the running back room. What are your quick impressions on the Browns, and what are your quick thoughts on what we'll need to do next week?
I'm excited about this game. I think pulling out a gritty win against the Chargers is good momentum heading into next week. I think the Browns, yeah, like you mentioned, they're in a pivotal spot right now. Deshaun Watson is not what they had hoped for, and I hope that stays true next week. I think we need to continue to utilize Henry and Spears and throw different looks, keep the defense on their toes, and let's hope that the offensive line can buy Tannehill a little bit of time, because we know Tannehill's all right with a little bit of time.
Yeah, you're right. You know, this is definitely a matchup for us to take advantage of. They don't have a ton of guys on defense. We know that they've got Myles Garrett, and he is one of the league's best and probably most freakish athletes in the league. So he's a guy we're going to have to double team. And I think, or at least I hope, after what we saw this week from the offensive line, I would love for us to do that double tackle stuff where we have to double team him and where we have six offensive linemen on the field. So that would be something I would love to see. Having six offensive linemen on the field and an extra swing tackle, that would make me feel a lot better about running right at Myles Garrett and having Derrick Henry able to have a great day. Let's not do a good day. Great day.
Great day.
A couple of years ago, Nathan and I made the road trip to Cleveland for the season opener, and that's where AJ Brown was introduced to the world. I know we've said we wouldn't mention his name on this podcast ever again, and you know,
it happens every week.
It happens every week, and we just, you know, miss that guy. Yeah, that stadium, it gets rocking, and it gets rocking early, you know, mid to late September, early October. That the lake effect is in full effect, and you get that breeze coming off the lake into the stadium, and it's really an exciting place to watch a game. And I hope to get back up there someday. I'm not going to be on Sunday, but it would be pretty cool to go back up there. It's a great environment and something that, you know, all Titans fans could aspire to.
I'm looking on DraftKings right now, and they've got us at +3. I love being an underdog.
Yeah, you know, it's, I think that's the third straight week where we're dogs. Yeah, it stinks, because, you know, usually Vegas, they give you 3 points for being the home team. So I guess they're saying it's a relatively even match. We'll have to kind of see what happens on Sunday.
Anything else? It'll be good. I'm excited about it. All right, big fella. You mentioned AJ Brown. Here's a little tidbit to help you sleep a little bit better tonight.
Oh.
This season, AJ Brown's got 11 receptions for 108 yards. And our guy, DeAndre Hopkins, has 11 receptions for 105 yards.
Oh, what do you see there? So we didn't even need Burks. We just replaced him with D-Hop for whatever. Well, you heard it here, folks. You know, we don't really miss AJ Brown all that much. And
that's,
you know,
right. No need.
Yeah, Reed is keeping us on task, and we won't mention him again. So yeah, that's it on AJ Brown. AJ who? Well, Reed, I think we got a lot to look forward to, and you know, we've got another good matchup with the Browns on Sunday, and I know you'll be ready. I'll be ready, and we'll all be ready. For Nathan, who isn't here, and hope he rests up and feels better, and for Reed, tighten up.
Tighten up.